phones this morning, don't dismiss strange. I want you to look at this, please. Don't dismiss strange and miss out. Sometimes things seem strange and you will dismiss it. Now we ask, how many strange things are in the Bible? Do we dismiss it? No. You find there's reasons for a lot of them. But in your own life and my own life, some things happen. Why would it happen now? Why would I land up here? It just doesn't make sense to me. Why am I sitting next to this person? And then you'll find out there are strange things that are happening, but God is leading, God is instructing. And we're going to find something in the New Testament as well that is so strange and bizarre. But as there are many strange incidents in the Bible that could lead to dismissing the entire incident, and that would lead to the peril of the individual. And I'm going to only present, what's it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these things to show you some of the bizarre, the strange things in the Bible, ask you what's so strange about it. Of course, one of the strangest things that I've encountered is found in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, 1 to 4. Notice I highlighted it with red. The serpent. Another word for serpent? Snake. Who was he? Who was it? We don't know, male or female. But the serpent was the shrewdest of all, notice though, wild animals, not domestic animals. The shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. Which means the snake never evolved. God made the snake. It was the shrewdest. Now notice, one day he, who's he? The snake, the serpent, asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the what? From the tree, in the middle of the garden, tree of life, that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat. Eat it, or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So the snake responds, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. What is so strange in these four verses? A snake talking. A snake talking. Was it strange, or is it possible that Adam and Eve did not know that they couldn't talk? They had no experience. But yet we find Satan had used the serpent to talk. To deceive. So, what is so strange? Serpent speaking, and there's communication. Now, I would like you to put yourself in that position. Was the snake standing upright? Or was the snake lying down? Or did the snake only crawl after it was cursed? So if the snake was standing upright, maybe it wasn't so strange. But then it was cursed and said, on your belly it will crawl the rest of its life. So of course some people are inferring, well, the snake stood upright. That's what it was created like, to stand upright. But after this incident, it got cursed and it started crawling. But we find there are some beautiful snakes. Oh, really? This must have been a beautiful snake. So what is strange is the serpent speaking. And then we find another strange thing in Exodus 3 verses 1 to 4. Notice 1 to 4 again. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of the Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to the Sinai, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what? A blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Don't you find this strange? He's out in nowhere. And the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Maybe there weren't many bushes around, but yeah, was this bush. Notice the behavior of Moses. What was so amazing? He didn't just look. He stared. You know, like some guy that just stared the lady. Stare. But notice in amazement. What was so amazing about this? Though the bush was what? Engulfed in flames. It didn't burn up. That's why he was staring in amazement at this bush. Never seen it before. Is it possible for him to dismiss this? Oh, it's just another bush. No. This is amazing. Notice he stared with amazement. Then he verbalizes and he says, "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. What is amazing? Why isn't that bush burning up? Of course, I think sometimes men are more inquisitive than women folk. Only sometimes. Only sometimes. Because here we find Moses being a little bit inquisitive. And what does he say? I must go see it. So it must have been from a distance, quite a while. Saw this thing burning. We don't know if there were sparks going all over the show. But he was staring at it in amazement. And then he was amazed in himself. And he says, you know what? I must go see it. Let's investigate. I've got to find out what's going on in this bush. Well, guess what happened? When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. Now, come on. Come on, guys. We see strange, but don't dismiss strange. Because sometimes dismissing strange could be to our own peril. We find that oftentimes God does reveal himself in strange ways. And then Moses, looking at the bush, focusing on the bush, seeing it engulfed in flames, but the bush is staying the same size. I've got to go investigate, and all of a sudden, come on, you're walking with me now, right? You're walking with me. We're going to this bush, and out of this bush, God does what? God called. From the middle of the bush. Come on, guys, come on. There's the bush. Engulfed in flames. We're heading towards it. And you hear a voice. Dennis! Bob! Jim! Roland! Oh, that's only the guys now. I'm leaving the ladies out for a reason. Okay. Pete! I can't go through all of your names. Moses! Moses! I find it strange that he never ran away. What was his response? He never dismissed strange. If he dismissed it, it would have been to his own peril. He never dismissed strange. Moses, Moses! Here I am. Moses replied. I would not have said, here I am. I'm gone. Come back! Come back! No, I'm gone. Moses, Moses, here I am. So what is so strange about this? Burning bush. Not consumed. Voice. Moses responding to that which is strange. Let's go another one. Numbers 22. Verses 21 to 31. So the next morning, and this is the strangest of one of the strangest. Read this whole chapter. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, highlighted the donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials, but God was angry. Although he told him to go, but God was angry that he went. Balaam. But God was angry that Balaam was going. So he sent an angel of the Lord. Men interpret this was Jesus Christ. Sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the what? In the road to block his way. To block Balaam's way? But Balaam was riding on the donkey? So to block the donkey's way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord. The donkey? So is the donkey wiser than the man? Is the donkey more insightful than the man? The donkey saw the Lord? Sure. Standing in the road with a sword drawn in his right hand. The donkey saw this. So what does the donkey do? But the donkey, as you and I know, donkeys, horses have got some different senses. When you ride on a horse, there's a snake, it can sense it, gets away. In nature, that's just those senses it has. The donkey bolted off the road. Bolted, didn't just trod. Bolted off the road into a field. Off course. What does Balaam do? Spank the butt. I think that's more needed today than ever before. But in any case, not just on donkeys. But Balaam beat it. And what happened? And turned it back. Pulled it back onto the road. Okay. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed. Oh, now it's getting more interesting. And guess what? Between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw, Balaam, what's up with you, my mate? Is it possible that sometimes we can be so blinded that we don't see God speaking to us? Yeah. I'll say for me. Sometimes you're so focused on something that anything that's out of your focus line, you dismiss it. And then you realize you were a fool. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord again, he tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. How do you think Balaam felt? So what does Balaam do? What's up with this darn donkey? What's up with this poor donkey? So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by. You know, when God is involved, you may miss it the first time. You may miss it the second time. But somewhere by the third time, he's going to get your attention. Right? Moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, what did it do? Look, I think I've caused enough damage. I'm thinking like a donkey now. I don't know if that's good. But in any case, The donkey thought, well, I bolted off and I got beaten. I hurt my master's foot and I got beaten. So the best thing for me to do, now I'm thinking a donkey can reason, that's ridiculous. But in any case, I've become the donkey now. It lay down. Balaam on top and it's laying down. Surely Balaam should be satisfied with that. But no, what do you notice? In a fit of rage, Balaam has had enough with this donkey. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again. Notice, doesn't say he beat the donkey. He beat the animal. We've gone from donkey to just an animal now. With his staff. He beat the animal again. Do you think this was fair? No. It's easy how we can make that decision now that we're on the other side. How would you have responded if your donkey did that? Would you have beaten the donkey when he jolted off? Bolted into the fields when you're supposed to be on the road? Wouldn't you have beaten the donkey? If he went through a narrow gauge and he hurt your foot or your leg, wouldn't you have beaten the donkey? You see, don't be so super spiritual now. And when you're supposed to be going forward and the donkey just lies down, what's up with you, my mate? You part of the union or what? Then the Lord gave the donkey. I don't know, guys. God, I don't know, God just does some weird stuff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. You know, we read these stories and we try, I try and put myself in that story and I look at what I would have done. We saw this burning bush. We saw a snake speaking. We saw a burning bush, and out of the burning bush comes this voice and it's God. And now we see a donkey, and God gives the donkey the ability to speak. Not hee-haw, hee-haw. He speaks. That's all a donkey does, right? Hee-haw, hee-haw. Now the donkey's speaking. Come on, my friends. Come on, brothers and sisters. The donkey is lying on its fours. I'm Balaam on top of the donkey. And now the donkey is talking to me? It must have been a hard day. I'm dehydrated. I'm hearing voices. And the donkey says to me, "What have I done?" What have I done to you? The donkey telling me this. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me? Now the donkey's kept track. Isn't God an amazing God? The donkey's keeping track of his beating. Like your kids keep track of what you do and don't do. The donkey says, "What have I done that deserves your beating me 3 times? It asked Balaam. "You've made me look like a fool." You've made me look like a fool. Who says this now? Balaam. He didn't say it. "You made me look like a fool." Balaam, it's a donkey, man. A donkey does what a donkey does. Maybe the donkey was a mule. Now, notice this conversation. What have I done that deserved you beating me 3 times? "You've made a fool of me." He shouted, "If I had a sword with me instead of my staff, I would kill you." And that wasn't uncommon In those days, in any case, a thing doesn't produce, you kill it. A thing doesn't do its job, you kill it. There was no respect for this stuff. I would kill you. All right, we're not done yet, guys. We're not done yet. But I'm the same donkey. I've had too much to drink today. I can see it. But I am the same donkey you have ridden all your life. The donkey answered, have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. Now, guys, what's so strange about this? The donkey speaking, or Balaam speaking back to the donkey. Don't be harsh. How many of you talk to your animals like they're your children? Come, honey. Come, let me tickle you. Oh, my baby. Come on. We animal lovers know what that's like, right? So who's crazy around here? All of us. That's why it's Crossway. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Okay, so now he was blind. Well, obviously, he never saw the Lord standing in the road. So why the heck didn't he just not open his eyes before? Why did we have to go through this donkey experience? Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord that the donkey had seen before Balaam ever saw it. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a sword, of course, drawn sword, in other words, ready for battle, in his hand. The minute Balaam saw the Lord, he did what the donkey did. He bowed. The donkey went down when he saw the Lord. Balaam bowed. Bowed his head. But notice something strange over here. Are you reading between the lines? Let's just backtrack a little bit. Remember, don't dismiss strange. It will be to your own peril. The donkey had gone down, most probably on its all fours. Balaam sees Jesus standing with a sword drawn in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and did what? Did he fall off the donkey? Because he was still seated on the donkey. And he fell face down. Now, he must have been off the donkey then, or he fell off the donkey, or got off the donkey, and fell face down on the ground before him. So as I said, what is so strange? The donkey speaking, or Balaam speaking to the donkey? What I realized through all these three experiences, that God uses animals. But not does God only use animals, he uses whatsoever he wishes to use. He uses fish with money in its mouth to pay taxes. Oh, you remember Elisha and his servant when chopping some branches down? And the axe head fell what? In a pond? And Elisha said, bring me a piece of log. And he threw it in the pond. And guess what? The metal axe head floated. Oh, really? I never knew metal could float. So we find God doing a lot of strange things. But we mustn't disregard or dismiss strange. Because God has a way of getting our attention. And I'm going to share one more incident that seems so bizarre to us in particular. And I don't know how it must have been for the Old Testament saints at that time. 53 days ago, Jesus was crucified. Known as Good Friday, speaking from today. He was buried, but on Sunday he arose from the grave. He presented himself to the disciples and many others over a period of 40 days. On the 40th day, he ascends to heaven, observed by some disciples. And he tells them to stay, hang out, tarry, chill out in Jerusalem for the next 10 days. Thus, from the resurrection, you add 40 days. From the 40 days, you get another 10 days that they got to chill out, which gives us a total of 50 days. What is today? Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who cares? Very few people do. We mustn't dismiss what happened, because it would be to our own peril. 50 days. Today is the day of Pentecost. Churches are going about as normal. Some may be preaching on it. The color should be red. Many of the Orthodox churches and some of the traditional churches have a lot of red all over, and red flames, tongues, signifying the importance of that day. But it's not so important anymore. Oh, we celebrate the birth. We celebrate or commemorate the death. We celebrate the resurrection. But that's as far as we go, because the next thing is Thanksgiving. And then we go back to the birth of Jesus. But who cares about Pentecost? We should. We should. So today we celebrate the 50th day after the resurrection. And something bizarre happened. Acts chapter 2. Once again, verses 1 to 4. When Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover, came, all the believers were together in one place, or in one accord. Suddenly, a sound like a violently blowing wind came from the sky and filled the whole house where they were. Just think about this. We're going back to even the snake speaking. We're going back to the burning bush. We're going back to Balaam and the donkey. And now we find tongues. Tongues. So don't stick your tongue out. Keep your tongue in your mouth. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them in the upper room where the disciples were. And others. 120. Notice the bizarre thing. What is the bizarre thing? There's tongues, but what are the tongues doing? It's going to be vulgar, but let me just try. Tongue. The tongue latches. Now, don't you go do that. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, and the tongues arranged themselves. This is madness. Is this what you people believe? You believe in the donkey speaking? You believe in the bush that doesn't burn? You believe in a snake speaking? And now you believe that tongues arrange themselves? This tongue can arrange itself? The tongues arranged themselves so that one came to rest on each believer. Try and imagine this. Let's say 120, right? Tongues arranges themselves and comes and settles, a tongue settles on each believer. Gross. Strange, Yeah, but don't dismiss it. Because if you dismiss it, it's to your own peril. We find it strange. And then I go to the Word of God, and the Word of God says, my ways are not your ways, and my ways are far above your ways. So God can do as He pleases, and most times when He does as He pleases, it doesn't make sense to the natural. So the tongues came to rest on each believer, and as the tongues came to rest on each believer, all the believers where the tongues came to rest upon were filled with what? Wow. This is different. We've never had this before. Like this. All the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, and something else happened. Because these were Jews, very comfortable in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But now, each of them got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in what? The King James, New King James, will use tongues. Correctly so. We can interpret the tongues as languages, correctly so, because that's what it is. But in the day of King James, New King James, it's tongues. Today we interpret it within the Greek context, other languages. So each of these people began to speak in other languages other than Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, because they were represented from countries around the world that had come for the Passover, because they had to make the journey to Jerusalem. But they spoke in these languages. In other words, they spoke in a language they did not know, a language they did not understand, a language they were not taught, a language that would have sounded foolish to a fellow Hebrew. So today, of course, we have that movement which is called the Pentecostal movement that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in other languages. But then we have another group that says, no, that is no longer necessary. It has ceased. It's done its thing. Cessation. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Over the last 70, 80 years, there was the connotation to Pentecostalism, and rightfully so. So today, not so much, because it seems to have worn down a little bit. It's not as prominent as it used to be. Within the Pentecostal circles, they would say, have you got your tongues? Have you received your tongues? And of course, man, that would drive a lot of people nuts. Have you got your tongues? And then there will be people that will say, well, you're not fully saved unless you got your tongues. Baloney. The languages spoken as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. So we ask ourselves then, what is the purpose of Pentecost? What is the purpose of Pentecost, which is today? What is the purpose of it? Firstly, as mentioned earlier, Pentecost is the 50th day, from the Greek word meaning 50. 50 days. Do I remember something else in the Word of God concerning 50 days? The law was given from Sinai when the Israelites came out of Egypt. 50 days, the law was given on that particular day after the deliverance of Egypt. God appeared also within fire and smoke on the mountain for Moses to receive the Ten Commandments. In the Exodus, the people were offered to God as living fruits. At Sinai, their consecration to him as a nation will be completed. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments was given to Moses, God within fire and smoke and thunder, and now we have the consecration of the Jewish nation. Just as the appearance of God on Sinai and there was fire was the birthday of the Jewish nation, so at Pentecost there was fire on the 50th day and the birth of the Christian church. Wow. Today, celebrating the birth of the Christian church, the born-again followers of Jesus Christ. It's also known as an annual festival, and I'll just go through it quickly. It was known as the Feast of Harvest. Today, Pentecost, known as the Feast of Harvest. You can go read that in Exodus 23:16. Marking the end of the wheat harvest. It was a holiday, like Thanksgiving, when Israel thanked God for the various and many blessings bestowed upon them. So it was the Feast Harvest. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks in Exodus 34. It's also known as a Holy Gathering in Numbers 28:26. In other words, it was a day of offering sacrifices, a holy day. So do we have a holy day or do we have a holy life? We have a holy life because of the holy day. Our life is filled with the blessings of God. But I discover it's the gathering. And when it says it's a holy gathering, that's why Paul emphatically states, do not neglect the gathering of the saints as some are in the habit of doing. And speaking of that, we're seeing a decrease of attendance worldwide because faith is being shaken. Nations are being shaken. But God's word will prevail. And within the day of Pentecost and the tongue settling on the 120, we find there's a new dispensation. Wow, today we're celebrating a new dispensation. A dispensation that is different to the law. A dispensation of the church. The dispensation of grace. A new dispensation. But we are also now, as believers, the first fruit in Jesus Christ. But we're celebrating the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which had rested only upon a selected few in the Old Testament that were called to a particular service. Now, this dispensation that is ushered in, the Holy Spirit, is for anyone, not only a selected few. And then we go to Acts 2. 39, and I've got two more scriptures. This promise is to you and your children. And even, notice this, folks, please. Within the Old Testament context, the Holy Spirit will come upon certain people pertaining to the Jewish people. This promise is to you, Jewish, and to your children, Jewish. What promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit. But even to the Gentiles. No. Can't be. We are the chosen people. No, this promise is not only to you. It's those that are Gentiles, that are followers of me, and they too can receive the Holy Spirit. All who have been called by the Lord our God. And now we see this dispensation of the Holy Spirit given to the Jew and the Gentile that are followers of God. And we find it a fulfillment. The strange incident, the strange occurrence with tongues latching on people and them speaking in other languages was prophetic in the book of Joel 2:28. And that's why Peter says in Acts 2:15 and 16, remember what happened here? The tongues latched onto the people. The people spoke in other languages as the Holy Spirit. 120 up there. There were a lot of non-believers around the building. They heard this commotion. What did it sound like? 17 different nations represented in that room. 17 different nations. They came from 17 different nations. In other words, wherever the nations they had come from, they've learned the language of that nation. Now they're in Jerusalem. Speaking in other languages. I'm speaking, she's speaking, he's speaking, she's speaking. I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what she's saying. They don't know what I'm saying, but I'm talking in another language. Known somewhere else. What do you think it sounds like? Noise? Chaos? Is it worthy of ridicule? Yeah. Yep. And the ridicule was there. Because Peter had to respond to the ridicule, and he says, these people are not drunk. Okay. So there must have been some form of behavior that led to the non-followers of Christ to believe they're drunk. There must have been behavioral patterns there. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. So what I gather from this meeting was not come in, shut up, sit down. Something was happening here. There was noise. There was things happening out of the extraordinary. And that's sometimes where we can dismiss strange and lose the blessing. Because it's not within the way I was raised. It's not necessarily the way I was taught. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning. You guys don't know about New England yet. But in any case, 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for drinking. No. What you see was predicted, prophesied long ago by the prophet Joel in the last days. And that was the beginning of your last days. It's not only a fulfillment of prophecy. And let me wrap it up. It's the birth of the church. A new institution. A new movement. Something that has never happened before. Now, yes, there are people that don't necessarily believe in this any longer. They say the tongues or the speaking in tongues or baptism in the Holy Spirit ended with the apostles. Which one? Why is it that history records have proven throughout the church age up to this day, people still speak in other languages, still get filled with the Holy Spirit? And I can give you countless of incidents, and I can bring up the track records of people which I have researched, of denominations that believed and experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other languages right through the ages to where we are today. What I am saying is, don't dismiss strange at your own peril. The birth of the church, the new movement. And this is what Jesus had said in Matthew 16, 18. Last scripture. And now I'm going to tell you who you are. Really are. Jesus conversing with Peter. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock, referring to himself, on which I will put my church, or put together my church. In other words, our old way of memorizing the scripture, I will build my church. This one says, I will put together my church. That was Pentecost. That was a prophetic meaning of Pentecost. A church, now notice this, a church so, what's that word? Expansive. I love that word. I love getting expansive. I mean, not expensive, expansive. I'm expanding daily. A church so expansive. But notice what it says. With what? So must God's church be energized? Absolutely. Must God's church be happy? Absolutely. Must God's church make a noise? Absolutely. A church so expansive with energy that not what? Even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. The church is alive. The church is vibrant. The church has the life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has been given to whosoever will. And we find the church is marching. Man, I'm getting excited on Pentecost, right? I will build my church. And Pentecost marked the founding of that institution with a spirit outpour. Remember, Peter said, it's too early, it's 9 o'clock. They're not drunk. And he preached the message and said, you people, you put Jesus to death. You killed him. What must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent, repent, repent. And what happened? 3,000 got saved. 3,000. Oh, wait, is Grant awake yet or not? Because I can wake him up. He's the only one that can sleep through my message. He put his hands in the air. All right. He's a Pentecostal. I will build my church. 3,000 people got saved. The church was inaugurated and set in motion. Prior to this, and let me conclude. Jesus said, you are my witnesses. Beautiful statement. You are my witnesses. Speaking particularly to his disciples. What was he inferring? What was he referring to when he said, you are my witnesses, or you shall be my witnesses? It means this. You have witnessed my life on earth. You have witnessed my crucifixion. You have witnessed my death. You have witnessed my burial. You have witnessed my resurrection. You are witnesses. In other words, you were there when it happened and you can verify the facts. Not only did you witness my resurrection, through the 40 days, I have convinced you of who I am. I am the Messiah. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now that you have witnessed this, and you are my witnesses of these events that have taken place, now there's something you got to do. Get off your butt. Saying it in my own way. Get out. Go about. You've witnessed all these things. Now go about. And the commencement, or would I say the command, was go and do what? Why? You've witnessed the validity of my life. I am who I said I am. I am who I said to you I am. I am God. I am the Messiah. I am the one that laid down his life and once again took up the life, raised from the dead. I am. So get out, go about, go make disciples. In other words, he's saying to them, get out. Get the you've witnessed everything, guys. Now get the message out. What is the message? There's hope. There's life. There's forgiveness for all who call upon the name of the Lord. And the church was set into motion. And you and I am in the place today where we can say, Holy Spirit, I need that empowerment. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I don't care what language I speak. I just want the Holy Spirit to fill me, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's strange. Don't dismiss strange to your own peril. Don't dismiss it. Well, I don't believe that that needs to happen today. Cut that out. I don't need to believe that a donkey needs to speak and a donkey spoke. I don't need to believe that we have a burning bush. Can God have another burning bush? Yes, he can. Can God have another donkey speak? Yes, he uses me every Sunday. Don't dismiss strange. Because God will not give you a snake when you ask for bread. God wants the best for his church. What more have I got to say about Pentecost? Quite a bit more. But unfortunately, you've got to wait till I come back. There will be another pastor for 2 weeks. And we'll catch up on this one, because I'm going to take you down another strange road with the Holy Spirit. And today, the fastest growing movement within the world is Pentecostalism. People that believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. You mean to tell me you believe in speaking in other languages? Oh, absolutely. Do you believe in the interpretation of those languages? Absolutely. Do you believe in healing? Absolutely. You believe in miracles? Absolutely. If I believe in God, why not? Because God can do all things. And I'm very careful to put God in a box. But I must be very careful that I don't become judgmental on my belief by saying that if you don't believe in the speaking of tongues, that you are not saved. That's not true. It's not true. And so we've erred at times. But I can assure you, if you've got a pure heart before God, he will never leave you astray. He will build you. He will sustain you. He will equip you. And the greatest joy you and I have is knowing that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for the church. Thank you for saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Which moves me to believe we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who gives us the strength. So go fight the battles in the power of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we pray together? Oh, Father.